good. So, out of those that were here last week, does anyone want to kind of summarize what we covered? Anyone feel comfy?
Well, in a phrase, the deity of the sun.
The deity of the sun. And can you give us one example of this deity?
All the I am statements in the book of John.
The I am statements in John's evangel. That's a good one.
You said that Jesus Christ is Yahweh and Father is Yahweh also.
That's correct.
That's for Genesis.
I did say that. I did say that. And we're also going to see that the Spirit is going to be referred to as Yahweh as well.
That's Yahweh at one day of the week.
That's correct. And tonight we're going to look at a third Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yahweh. But I was thinking of that. There you go.
So he said to the better those who are not here.
That's right. So.
So, you know, we had to go through our notes just now to get this information off.
So the... So the thing that we should say is it's important to be here, right?
Well, Yahweh is basically self-existent.
Right. That's typically what it means.
Is all free.
Right. It really is the idea of the word Yahweh itself literally means I am what I shall become. It's really the rendering of it. It is. So, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews 3. I'm going to look at the Holy Spirit here. So, Hebrews 3 and let's read verses 7 and 8. 7, 8, and 9.
Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
Okay, so who's speaking here in Hebrews?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is speaking, correct? Okay, and he's quoting a passage. Does anyone know what passage it is? Okay, let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And in Psalm 95, we're going to read verses 7 through 11. Somebody could read the
end. But he is our God, and we are the people of his death, people of his death. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not the heart that he has brought us to the end of the day. When your father's tempted, please take on my work. 40 years long, and I believe this generation is that the people that you hear in your heart, and they do not have their health, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore and I will.
Okay, now, it's interesting in this passage here. Notice in Hebrews, it says that the Holy Spirit spoke. Right? And he's quoting Psalm 95. And in Psalm 95, he's quoting some things that are said by Elohim, and in particular, Yahweh. And I think that's why it's important to read that context. So what he does, what we read here is that he's quoting something that's attributed to Yahweh as it being the Holy Spirit who spoke it. wasn't the Father who spoke it, and it wasn't the Son who spoke it. It was the Spirit who spoke it.
Through the
psalmist, yep. Which is a really neat thing. Go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, let's look at verse 15 down through 17. Awesome passage. Unfortunately, the King James kind of loses a little of the emphasis, but most translations do, because they don't use the Septuagint rendering that they use in the Old Testament for the titles or the names. So let me kind of read it here so you can hear that. The Holy Spirit also assures us of this, for he said, "This is the covenant which I will establish towards them after those days, says Yahweh. Giving my laws into their hearts, I will write them also in their understandings, and I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds." I want to stop. Verse 15, it's the Holy Spirit who said it. Verse 16, it's Yahweh who said it. Now, it's a quotation out of Jeremiah 31. And it's actually quoting Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. And in Jeremiah, it's very clearly Yahweh speaking. So follow what Scripture is laying out here. It lays out that the Holy Spirit said something, and what he said is what Yahweh has said. The quote that the Holy Spirit gave is actually a quotation of Yahweh. So if I'm quoting what the Holy Spirit says, and I quote what Yahweh said, is what the Holy Spirit said, it would make the Holy Spirit Yahweh, is the idea. And literally, and I'm not going to do this tonight because we'd be here all night just running statements like that. But if you get a good concordance and you just look up the phrase, the Holy Spirit said, and look it up through the New Testament, you're going to see that he's quoted, it's got to be at least a half a dozen times.
So in the New Testament, it would be the Holy Spirit said, and then a quote from the Old Testament where it says, "Thus says the Lord."
That's correct.
"Thus says Yahweh."
That's correct.
And it's through the mouth of a prophet or a psalmist.
Or Yahweh directly.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is from Yahweh directly.
Okay. Where the previous verse was through the psalmist.
Right. But this quote's directly from Yahweh. Go to Jeremiah 31 just so you can see it. Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse 33 and 34. 31, verse 33. Let's start at verse 32 so you see who's being quoted. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, as the Lord," or Jehovah, or Yahweh. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh," or the Lord, or Jehovah. "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more," and he goes on, but the key part at the end of the verse is, "says the Lord," or Yahweh. It's a quotation of Yahweh. And Jeremiah is very clear that Yahweh is speaking directly to to Jeremiah, but it's Yahweh speaking. And it's quoted as being the Holy Spirit who spoke in Hebrews. So the Holy Spirit here is being referred to as Yahweh. And I think that's an important point to understand. So how are we to understand Yahweh? I think that's an important question in our study.
Well, how will we tell anybody else?
Right. Well, the word literally embodies the idea of self-existence, right? And I think it's important for us to understand God has a name. When we take all three beings of the Godhead, they have a name, and their name is Yahweh. Elohim is a title. His name is Yahweh. His title is Elohim. Okay? Elohim is the title. He's God. That's a title. He is self-existent. And I think that's a key point here, that all three beings are self-existent, so their name is Yahweh. That's why it's holy, holy, holy. Three holies for one entity. The one entity being Elohim. The three collectively equals one Elohim, but they're all self-existent, hence they're all Yahweh. And I think that's important to keep that distinction there. In my mind, that's probably one of the most important points that we can make, that the Holy Spirit is active in as the person of Yahweh in the Old Testament. Because so often we'll look at the Old Testament and we have a hard time seeing certain beings of the Godhead in the Old Testament. I know Dan Kramer, and I love Dan. he and I had a really long discussion on the way down to South Carolina, where he doesn't see the Son in the, or I'm sorry, he doesn't see the Father in the Old Testament. He believes all the references to Yahweh in the Old Testament is a reference to the Son. So we had a discussion, and it became a basis of a really good, lively discussion on the way down. You know, just looking at different passages, where there's two beings there. Who are they? You know, what are they saying, and so on. But I think it's important to understand all three people of the Godhead are in the Old Testament. They're just not by happenstance, you know, where one is absent, and then all of a sudden materializes when you get to the Greek scriptures.
Well, what do you think that God is trying to tell us?
I think what he's trying to show us is different distinctions within the Godhead itself. I think each thing is, it's interesting because Jeremiah 31 is really going to be in operation, but it's really the work of the Spirit that's the main operator when that covenant comes into existence. So to me, it makes sense that the Spirit is the one elaborating the information that's pertinent to a dispensation where he's really at the forefront. You know, he's elaborating on that body of information. It makes sense that Jesus, for instance, would reference some things back in Genesis 19 that he's going to allude to back in John later on, because it's pertinent to show his self-existence, because he understands the time's coming when he's going to be taking upon himself humanity. So I think there's reasons on that, and you know, typically it's because it's showing differences of what they're doing and how they operate, but they're not the same being, and I think that's the key. I want to show here for a second that the Holy Spirit also has attributes of deity. If you go to Psalm 139, chapter 139, and verses 7 through 12, if somebody would like to read those.
Psalm 139.
139, verses 7 through 12.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I stand up in heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the thee in the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts